I want to thank you, young people, for being extremely attentive during the preaching of God's word this week. That's a blessing, and it just makes preaching that much easier without distraction. And I have to commend you for that. At the same time, I know that it is Wednesday, and I know that camp will start to wear on you physically. And I want you to know that if you decide to go stand up in the back because you're having a hard time staying awake, that won't bother me at all. That won't distract me at all. But what I don't want you to do is fall asleep while I'm preaching. I'll call you out if I see that. And so keep awake. And if you have to, again, it's been excellent up until this point. But if you have to, I'd rather you go standing back than be a distraction in another way. I am preaching a message this morning entitled Discouraged Because of the Way. Discouraged because of the way. Turn to Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. Pastor Lewis, this is teen camp. What on earth is possessing you to preach a message on encouragement? Well, because I believe you need it. I believe you need it. In my Christian experience, I'm tired of seeing young people in Christian homes that are contemplating suicide. You say, it's not a problem where I'm at. Young people, did you know that some of the music that you listen to and enjoy, written by people in the independent Baptist ranks, some of that music was written by people who had children that committed suicide? You'd be shocked. Oh, it touches right where you're at. And encouragement is something that we all need. And if you are struggling with discouragement, I want to say that camp in and of itself won't solve that. Okay? Camp, because of the fun, the excitement, and even the preaching, can suppress some things. And then you get back at home on Friday and you're right back in the same situation you were before. We need preaching on discouragement. Numbers chapter 21, Numbers chapter 21. As you're getting there, I want to say it doesn't take much to get us discouraged. Little things. We can be excited and spiritually robust in 1 minute. And 10 minutes later, be down in the dumps. Discouragement comes to us all. We all get discouraged. But what I want to preach on is a plan to get out. I am very encouraged these days. I'm encouraged about what the Lord is doing in our church. I'm encouraged about what the Lord is doing in our family, in my own heart personally. I'm very encouraged these days, but there have been real times of discouragement. And so I want to preach this message to you. People have some unique ways to try to overcome discouragement and depression. There was a lady whose husband died, and she found herself extremely lonely. And so she told herself that she needed to do something to help her overcome her discouragement. She took a trip to the local pet store looking for something to encourage her in her loneliness. The pet store clerk introduced her to a parakeet that talked. So you just take this little guy home and it'll help you with your loneliness. The widow thought the idea of a talking parakeet was wonderful. She took that parakeet home. She started talking to that bird. That's strange, talking to a bird. But the bird wouldn't talk back at all. This went on for a week. The woman talked and talked and talked. Nothing. Naturally, she was confused about what was going on. The widow went back to the pet store, talked to the clerk, and said, "The parakeet is not talking." "Oh," the clerk said, "you forgot the mirror." The parakeet's got to have the mirror in the cage. That parakeet's got to be able to see itself. Then it will be encouraged to talk. So she bought a mirror. Took it home. Put the mirror in the cage. The parakeet looked at itself. For another week, she talked to that bird. The bird still would not talk. She took the parakeet back to the pet store and said, "He's still not talking." Clerk said, "Oh, you forgot the swing. You've got to have the swing. The bird has to be swinging and looking at itself in the mirror. And that'll cheer it up and encourage it to talk." So she bought the swing, put the bird on the swing and started talking to the parakeet again. Another week went by. This dumb bird, she went back to the pet store. This dumb bird won't talk. "Oh, there's one more thing you forgot to get. You've got to have the ladder." Yeah, you've got to have the ladder. The bird's got to be able to climb up and down the ladder, be on the swing, look at itself in the mirror, and that will encourage the bird to talk. Hesitantly, she bought the ladder. Another week went by. The parakeet didn't say a word. At the end of that week, it fell over dead. The widow was very discouraged. Now, I'll finish that story at the end of my message. But you girls left the bat cave? You left the bat cave? Yeah, okay. Honestly, though, how many of you can say, without being embarrassed, because I think we'll be surprised, but how many of you in your life, even though you're young, have had times where you've been deeply discouraged? Raise your hand. Okay, keep it up. Now look around. That's why I'm preaching this message. I was extremely discouraged by not having a father. It was deep. And it caused me to have thoughts about what I would do to my father when I became of age. And I was very discouraged. Very discouraged. Perhaps in some way, your way is hard. Your way is tough. You're discouraged and you're looking for something to encourage you. I want to say again, a week like this may suppress some of that discouragement, but it'll only be dealing with the fruit, not the root. And that's what I'm interested in today. Someone said that encouragement is like peanut butter on bread. If you spread it around, it just helps things stick together. And I hope that this message in that way can be like peanut butter on your bread. We need to stay encouraged. And part of staying encouraged, is having a proper understanding of that which makes us discouraged and how to deal with that thing when we are so that we can come out of it. And so the message won't be cotton candy. You will probably squirm a little bit, but if you'll take it, I believe it'll help you deal with something that virtually all of you raised your hand and said that it was a struggle at one time or another. And so Numbers chapter 21, if you will stand with me, we'll read this passage. Numbers chapter 21, beginning in verse number 4. "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." That's my message. Discouraged because of the way. Verse 5. "And the people spake against God and against Moses, 'Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread.' And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Let's pray. Father, would you help me to preach this morning? I pray that you'd help me to bear my heart. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me also to preach your word. Father, I pray for your power and strength and wisdom. And I pray that you'd help these young people to understand discouragement and how they can deal with it scripturally and not be overwhelmed and not have these burdens so press upon them that they turn to the world and other things that will never bring them out. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand discouragement in the way today. Speak to hearts, and I do pray that some specific decisions would be made and that you'd get the honor and the glory. Keep us awake, Lord. Help us to be alert as your word is preached. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was discouraged in college. And I know I'm talking to people who have college in front of them. A lot of my discouragement came in college because of the classes. I was largely a product of the public school, and the thought of higher education scared me to death. And I was discouraged in the middle of all of these classes, with all of these projects due, you know, with not really having knowledge on how to schedule my time and all of that. Some of you are so blessed. But all of these things seem to come upon me. On top of that, they gave out demerits left and right. You didn't make your bed, demerit. You didn't wake up on time, demerit. They had white glove inspections. You got so many demerits, you had to do detention. I was privileged to win a scholarship that covered my first year tuition and room and board. And I lost half of it my freshman year. I lost half of my scholarship because of demerits. I was discouraged. It seemed like my finances were going in the wrong direction and I had a hard time keeping up. On top of all of that, a childhood of not caring for my teeth caught up with me in college. Very, very expensive. Seemed like the devil was having a field day with my mind, and I was discouraged because of the way. The devil wanted me to quit. Now, when you raised your hand a moment ago, I want to say to you that you raised your hand to a point in life where the devil wanted you to quit, and it's going to happen again and again and again throughout life. Ask yourself right now, are you discouraged because of the way? If you're taking notes, I want you to see the complaint. The complaint. Secondly, the consequence. The consequence. Thirdly, the confession. And then fourth, the covenant. The children of Israel had to make a long journey, and they had to march around the land of Edom because they were not permitted to pass through that land. The word Edom means red. The Edomites were descendants of Esau. That means they were cousins to Israel. These were their kinfolk. And all they wanted to do on their journey was pass through their land, take a shortcut instead of going around. And surely our cousins will let us do this. But they did not. They were cousins, but not kind. Go back to Numbers chapter 20 and you'll see this. Numbers 20, just the chapter before, verse number 14. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel. He tried to underscore that they were kin. Thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us, how our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. And when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel and hath brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. In other words, we were delivered from Egypt. Now we need your help. Verse 17, let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards. Neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we have passed thy borders. Cousin, we just want to go through. We're not going to touch any of your stuff. We're not going to mess with your vineyards. We're not going to mess with your fields. We're not going to mess with anything. All we need is to use your highway to get through. Verse 18, and Edom said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. And the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway. And if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then we will pay for it. Then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said, thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border. Wherefore Israel turned away from him. And then it's in the very next chapter that we read about Israel being discouraged in the way. So now you know partly why they were discouraged. They couldn't get passage through the land to take a shortcut. The soul of the people was much discouraged. Maybe the way they had to end up going was really rough and uneven, especially muddy, foul. I don't know. Or maybe it was just the pure thought of the time they would waste instead of taking the shortcut. They couldn't get the shortcut that they wanted. Could that be some selfishness? Could that cause our discouragement? They couldn't get the desired response from family. I think a lot of discouragement comes from that right there. Family problems. Family issues. They couldn't get the right response from their cousin. And it put them in a fit of discouragement. Please learn this, young person. If you want to find something to get discouraged about, you'll find it. It'll be there. It could be any small thing that grows in size and proportion in your mind. I want you to see, first of all, the complaint. The complaint. Israel was at a time when they should have been rejoicing. They should have been thrilled because of what God had done with the Red Sea encounter. But also, they had just won a different battle. Look back at chapter 21. Chapter 21, verse number 1. The Bible says, and when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. They had a problem with the Canaanites in verses 1-3. God delivered the Canaanites into their hand. And then they end up discouraged in the very next verse, verse number 4. They should have been rejoicing over a victory, but instead they found themselves complaining. When you are discouraged, you are about to start complaining. Remember that. Look at verse 5. And the people spake against who? Verse 5, 21, verse 5. And the people spake against who? God. And against who? When you are discouraged, you will be tempted to complain against God and against God's man. When you are discouraged. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loathed this light bread. The worst thing about discouragement is that it sets you up to start murmuring. It sets you up to start complaining. They were discouraged in verse 4, and then they started yakking and murmuring in verse number 5. And because of the punishment that they're about to get, it ought to be a lesson to us not to complain. There is a connection between discouragement and complaining, a very real connection. When you find yourself discouraged, you're going to be tempted to murmur and complain. A lady came to her pastor and said, "Preacher, I struggle with my tongue of complaining. I complain," and the preacher knew this because he knew that she was the object of a lot of the gossip in the church. "I struggle with my complaining tongue. Preacher, I want to put my tongue on the altar." The preacher said, "Our altar's not that long." Complaining is going to please your flesh, but it is deadly to your spirit. And we've all been tempted to complain, and we have all complained, but it hurts our spirit. They complain to God and to Moses. Complaining, again, I'm looking at the people who raised their hand. Complaining will discourage you even more. Now, I don't know what thing you raised your hand about. I could raise both my hands and my feet as well. I've been discouraged at times. But listen to me. You multiply that discouragement when you open your mouth to complain and to murmur. They murmured about their place. Their place. They were vexed that they had been brought up out of Egypt into the wilderness. Look at verse 5. Follow me. The Bible says, "And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of what?" There's two people awake. "Wherefore have ye brought us up out of?" Why did you bring us out of Egypt? To die in the what? Why did you bring us out of Egypt? They complained about their place. When you are discouraged, you will start to complain about your place, where God has placed you. Egypt is a picture of worldliness. Let me ask you something, Israel. Were you happier in Egypt when you were under oppression and bondage? Were you happier in the world? Was that a better place? That you would complain about where God has brought you to? Some of your parents were saved out of the world. They came out of the world so that they could, in part, raise you up in a godly atmosphere, in a godly environment, away from the ways of this world. They came out of the world. It doesn't make sense for you to want to go back into it. They came out of Egypt. But discouragement will cause you to complain about your place. Yeah, they were in the wilderness. But I want to say a day in the wilderness is better than a day in Egypt any day. The wicked world. They complained about their place. They also complained about their provision. What God had given to them. They wanted Hostess brand. And what they had, they thought was just Kroger. They complained that they didn't have bread and water as other people had. Now, in reality, they had bread and enough to spare. But they said that they had no bread. Look at verse number 5. Please see this, where it says, "For there is no bread," toward the end of verse number 5. There is no bread. That was a lie. Complaining always distorts the truth. Complaining always starts to twist the truth. Your discouragement, and that way can turn you into a liar. Listen, the Bible says they had bread. They had angels' bread. But they were weary of it. They were tired of it. And I would love to be able to taste some of that manna. I believe we will in heaven. But I wish I could taste what they tasted that came down from heaven. Manna. They said, what is it? They called it manna. It was sweet to the taste. And in verse number 5, at the end, look, they said, and our soul loatheth this light bread. We're tired of this light bread. This stuff that floats down. It was, listen, man did eat angels' food. We're tired of what you've given to us, God. This light bread. Let me ask you something. If manna from heaven won't please you, then what will? Some of you complain at times about the church that he's placed you in. But if God has placed you and your family in that church, how dare you complain about the manna from heaven that he's provided for you? Oh, you're tempted to complain about your parents? My mother passed away when I was 17. I never knew my father. How dare you complain about your parents? He's given you manna from heaven. And you're treating it like it's a light thing. I'm tired of this school. I'm tired of these restrictions. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this youth group. Christians will complain about God's provision when they get discouraged. I don't have enough friends. You're complaining. I don't have enough money. You're complaining. I don't have the right clothes. You're complaining. And what you're saying is that the things that God has given you are light bread. Even though it's come down from heaven, you're calling it light bread. And you're complaining about your manna. There's a better path to encouragement than that. There's a better path to encouragement than complaint. Complaint. Secondly, I need you to see the consequence. The consequence. When we are discouraged, and remember we raised our hands. When we are discouraged, we need to run to God. If you will run to God, there are some serious consequences that you can avoid. And to not run to God and to bring those deadly consequences upon yourself, that's not smart. The Bible says in Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Now we need to come to God and throw our burden on him, but not complain. There is a difference. There's a difference between throwing yourself before the throne of God and pouring out your heart. Yeah, you need to do that, but make sure you don't complain. They got bitter at God. And I don't care if you have little. I don't care if you have much. There is no reason to complain about what God has given to you. He doesn't want to hear your hissy fit. But he does want you to cast your burden before him. But they complained. And God didn't let them get by. And God won't let you and I get by with a complaining spirit. We need to be very, very careful. There was devastation in the form of fiery serpents. Look at verse number 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of the people of Israel died. My friend, look this way. I know you're young, and I know the devil wants to lie to you and tell you that you can handle things and skirt and get by. And really, you're exactly who the devil wants because of your youth and your inexperience. And you haven't had the privilege of time and seeing what God does to people who turn away from him. But let me tell you something. God still has fiery serpents. And he can send them your way when you complain. Devastation and death. Many of these people died because of their complaining. Why were they complaining? Because they were discouraged and didn't deal with it right. Along the wilderness, these serpents had always been. They had always been there. That really boggled my mind. It wasn't as if these serpents appeared out of nowhere. They were already out there in the fields, and God had protected them from those serpents. But when they started complaining, God removed that hedge of protection and let the serpents in. Let me prove that to you. Keep your place here. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. The wilderness through which they had passed was all along infested with these fiery serpents. Deuteronomy chapter 8, look at verse number 15. Deuteronomy 8, 15, scripture. Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth out of the rock of flint, led thee through the wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents. But up until our text, God had wonderfully preserved His people from being hurt by them. Don't miss this. Until they murmured. If you are not thankful for His mercies, you will begin to feel His judgments. These serpents were called fiery, perhaps their color. But also perhaps from their bite, the effects of their bitings, inflaming the body, putting it immediately into a high fever until death would occur. All along the way, scorching them with insatiable thirst. Now, what were they complaining for? What were they wanting? They were complaining for water. So how did God judge them? With a thirst that no water could satisfy. The very thing that they were crying after, it's as if God said, I'll give you real thirst to cry about. My mother used to tell me, keep crying. You know, if I didn't like something, she'd say, keep crying and I'm going to give you something to cry about. It's as if God is saying here, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say, yes, you're going to be discouraged. We're going to be down at times, but don't play with God. Stop your complaining. Many of them died. And young people today still die. They die physically, they die spiritually. In their pride, they lifted themselves up above God and Moses. And God says, you don't know how to humble yourself, so I will humble you. The same animal that came to bite them was their defense against Pharaoh. Do you remember when Moses performed the miracle before the court of Pharaoh? What animal did he use? A rod that became a serpent. He turns them now onto his unthankful, complaining people. But he didn't send the serpents because he... Wake up. There we go. He didn't send the serpents because he hated them. He sent the serpents because he wanted to help them. And we've got to understand that even when we complain and we're punished, it's not because God hates us. It's because he wants to help us. If we were to start a fire in a pit right here at the front of the tabernacle, and if we took a piece of wax and a piece of meat and some sand, some clay, and some wood shavings, and if we held each of those things over the fire individually, we would see that they react differently. Even though they're all under the fire, they won't react the same. The heat will melt the wax. The heat will fry the meat. The sand will dry up. The clay will harden. The wood shavings will burst into flames. The same is true in life. He'll put different people under the same fire, and how you react is just an indication of what you're made of. You see? It all depends on what you're made of. Paul could say, we faint not. None of these things move me. But Demas quit and went back to the world. Paul was made of the right stuff. And so he reacted in a certain way under the fire. Demas was made of the wrong stuff. Oh, for some Christians who, although they're under the fire, they come out as gold because they're made of the right stuff. What are you made of? If those fiery serpents have to be brought into your life, and I have had them, if those fiery serpents have to be brought into your life, will you come out better or bitter? Now some of these people died, but some of them came out better. God may use fire to get the wrinkles out. Now, why do you iron your clothes? I hope you iron your clothes. I really do. Why do you do that? It's simple, isn't it? You iron your clothes in order to get the wrinkles out. In order for that iron to get the wrinkles out, it has to be hot. A fiery trial has to be applied to that shirt. A fiery trial has to be applied to that skirt or that dress, right? You want those clothes to be wrinkle free because you want to wear those clothes. And wearing those clothes with wrinkles won't make you look good. And if that iron won't get that stubborn wrinkle out, you just turn up the heat. Well, in the very same way, Jesus is inside of you. And what you have on the outside is a representation of Him. And He doesn't want wrinkles because you won't make Him look good. And so God must address our wrinkles. And He does this with fiery serpents. And if you insist on wearing a wrinkled life as you cover up the Lord inside of you, then He'll know that the fire is not hot enough. And since He wants you wrinkle free, He'll turn up the heat as hot as necessary. Why? Because He wants a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Israel's consequence was fire. And fire is what happens when you get discouraged and have the audacity to blame God. Fire. But third, I want you to see the confession. Praise God, they didn't stay in the fire. I want you to see the confession. Their repentance and supplication to God brought His mercy. Look at chapter 21, verse number 7. The Bible says, therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that He take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. This is the glorious part. This is the part of coming out of the depression or the discouragement. They're getting right with God and the man of God. Notice, we've spoken against the Lord and against thee. If you're not right with the man of God, you're not right with the Lord. And you'll never be right with the Lord until you get right with the man of God. Some of you need to have a conversation with your preacher. But they're getting right. How did they get right? Okay, now we're going to the root of Pastor Lewis. I've been very discouraged at times. How did they get right? Number one, they dealt with their own rebellion. Verse number 7, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. We have sinned. And then they got particular in their confession. We've spoken against the Lord and against thee. That is one thing, Brother Todd, that I appreciate about Mount Zion Baptist Camp. I appreciate that you want the decisions from these young people to not be broad generalities, but specific. And when you make a decision today, tomorrow, and Friday, and they say, write it into your Bible, make it something specific. We went to camp a couple of weeks ago out in Iowa, and one of our campers, I said, did you make any decisions? And this camper said, yes. And I said, what was your decision? To be a better Christian. I said, wrong. The camper kind of looked at me and I said, what's wrong with that? No, it's good, but it's not good enough. You've got to get very specific in your decisions at camp if you want them to last. I am going to stop seeing this person. I am going to stop listening to this. I am sorry, preacher, that I said this. I am sorry, mom, that I said this, or I thought this, or I wore that, or I listened to this. Israel got down to the root and got very specific. We've spoken against God and Moses. Your confession needs to be very particular. Israel got spanked and they gave in under the rod. And when God started killing them, they sought the Lord. I'm asking you to give in to God today. Give in to God before he has to apply more heat. Give in to God. How many times does God have to prove to us that he's not one to be trifled with? You see? We see here the rebellion was dealt with. And then they made a request. Look at verse number 7. Don't miss the request. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." A request. They beg for the prayers of Moses. They probably felt like their own prayers wouldn't get anywhere past the ceiling. And so they said, "Moses, pray for us." Boy, how their tone has changed now. The fire will do that. Moses showed that he had really forgiven them. He prays for them. He blesses them who cursed him. Moses here then becomes a type of Christ who blesses those that are his enemies. I like that Motel 6 slogan, "We'll leave the light on for you." That's God's forgiveness. He always leaves the light on for us to come back to him. And that's where your encouragement will begin, when you get God's forgiveness. Get right with God. And by the way, if there's somebody that you are not offering forgiveness to, then that always becomes a result of discouragement when you're holding back forgiveness of others who have wronged you. Get right with God. Get right with God, young person. And then I want you to see the covenant. The covenant. God didn't leave them in that situation. They had made a request. He made them look up. This is the crux part of the message. I want you to see the plan of encouragement. I'm talking to anybody here, whether it's one person or 30 people. One person that's discouraged or 30 people that are discouraged. Here's the plan of encouragement. Numbers chapter 21, verse number 8. "And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent." God said, "Make a serpent of brass." The plan of encouragement is God's plan. His plan. Not our plan. His plan. I want you to see the position of encouragement. Set it on a pole. A pole. So that everybody in the camp can see it. The same plan is for all. And then the promise of encouragement. "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Everybody that was stung by a fiery serpent, if they would look up, they would live. They would be healed. The people said, "God, we want you to take the serpents away from us." Moses prayed that God will take the serpents. God said, "I'm not going to take away the serpents, but I will heal those that will look up." They were discouraged. And what was the remedy? What was the remedy to get them out of this terrible situation? Look up. Look up. If you get nothing else out of this message, get this. When you are discouraged, look up. Don't look to Hollywood superheroes. Look up. Don't look to a video game. Look up. Don't look to a book that you like to curl up in a corner and read unless it's the Bible. Look up. Don't look to the movies. Look up. Don't look to booze, drugs, cigarettes, a friend, or even your preacher. Start by looking up to the Lord and you will find encouragement. That's the cure. That's the cure. Look up. When that little boy drowned on July 4th, 2017, it was a Tuesday. The next day was Wednesday night. That's when we have church. For the first time in 9 years as a pastor, I did not want to go to church. I didn't want to stand in front of our people and recount what had happened the day before. They all knew. I was discouraged. I didn't know how I would go to the pulpit on Sunday. I remember laying in bed, and I remember waking up that next morning saying, was it a dream? Was it just a dream? Our attendance dipped a little bit. I got real concerned. I thought it was over. I was discouraged in the way. Say, what did you do? I did what I'm begging you to do. Look up. When I looked up, I saw my refuge. The Lord is a very present help in time of trouble. Look to God and you can live. That lady, her husband died. She found herself extremely lonely. She went to the pet store, needed something to help her with her discouragement. She was introduced to a parakeet that would talk. So she bought it. A week later, the parakeet wouldn't talk. Oh, you forgot the mirror. She bought the mirror. Another week went by. Oh, you forgot the swing. Parakeet still wouldn't talk. Another week went by. Well, you forgot the ladder. If you get the ladder, it'll all work out. The parakeet will start talking. She bought the ladder. Another week went by. The parakeet didn't say a word. At the end of that week, it fell over dead. She took the dead bird back to the pet store. The owner said, I can't believe it died. Did it say anything before it died? The widow said, yeah, while it was falling over dead, it opened up one eye and said, don't they sell any bird food at that pet store? For 4 weeks, that bird had no food. She was buying all the wrong stuff. I'm convinced that there's a lot of young people that find no encouragement because they're filling their life with all the wrong stuff. And they're not getting what they desperately need to be encouraged and to stay encouraged. Look up. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Pray that you take the message and apply where it's needed. Speak and minister to these young people, Holy Spirit, in a way that I never could. And Lord, if there's some here that are discouraged in the way, I pray that in some way this message could be their balm. Help them to see a way out by looking up. Bless this invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. God's dealing with your heart. Don't wait. Don't contemplate. You just come. You just come. Pastor Lewis, I've been battling discouragement. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Get what you need from God today. Not from man, not from the world. Get what you need from God.